Andy, what's happening, man?
Well, you just named it. You just said it. No kid, that's about all that's happening right now. That's the crazy trade deadline, of course.
Yeah, that's the trade deadline. You're right. Lots of diapers and lots of that kind of stuff. But truly, congratulations, Andy, from all of us here. That's awesome news for you guys.
What is that about 42 or 50, something like that, grandkids now that Hank's got?
They now have an even split, 10 girls and 10 boys.
Wow. That's a lot less than what you got, Monty.
Yeah, you guys got to get working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, the trade deadline has come and gone, but I'd say it was pretty active, to say the least, and, you know, the trade that affects, you know, what we do here is the one that saw Larry Nance Jr. And Jordan Clarkson go to Cleveland for Channing Frye and Isaiah Thomas. Did that one kind of come out of the blue? Because all I was hearing from Cleveland was maybe DeAndre Jordan or somebody like that. This one seemed to come out of the blue a little bit. Was that the case?
Yeah, it did. I would say that's a good way to describe it. I listened to Larry Nance on a podcast maybe a week or two ago, and I'm sure this is pretty common, but he said he had really no anticipation of being traded. So it caught him off guard, for sure. And the other thing that was sort of out of the blue is it was the first of three just sort of rapid-fire moves that the Cavs pulled off. They announced that one, or that one was broken first by Adrian Wojnarowski, and then the Dwayne Wade deal came down the pipe, and the Jazz deal came, and they basically did a complete overhaul of their roster in the middle of the season. It was I've never seen a team that active at the trade deadline. It was pretty crazy.
So I've seen about a 50-50 split on what this trade truly means for the future of Cleveland. I've seen some say that sets up for them and the Lakers to do a deal for LeBron and Paul George to come to Los Angeles at some point. But I've also seen others that say that this kind of is more enticing to LeBron James to keep him in Cleveland. Where do you lie on that? Do you think it's the former or the latter with that?
It's kind of funny because I think I'm personally 50-50 on that. I can't get much more political than that for you, but I do think this makes them a better team. I think Larry Nance is objectively better than Tristan Thompson. There are a lot of numbers you can point to that would suggest that he's the best player on the Lakers this season. He doesn't score the most points. He's not as flashy as some of the other guys like Julius Randle, but he just makes winning play after winning play. So I think he's a huge upgrade for them. Jordan Clarkson, you wouldn't think is better than Isaiah Thomas, who was an MVP candidate last year, but Thomas has been awful coming off this hip injury. I mean, he's arguably the worst defender in the league right now. So they made upgrades all over the place, and that's obviously got to be pretty enticing to LeBron. But the other thing you pointed out, and I thought this was kind of funny as it was happening, is the Lakers are clearly trying to create cap space this summer, and I thought it's kind of funny that they're using the Cavs to do that. Cleveland must be confident that he's, or at least trying to get him to come back. I think that's what this move signifies. But man, that would be quite the double whammy if they helped the Lakers create the cap space and then LeBron went to the Lakers. I mean, that would sting, I would think, worse than the first time he left back in 2010.
I guess a backstory on this now with Larry Nance going to back home, so to speak, going to Cleveland where his dad was, has his number retired. There's going to be a lot of older fans that are going to tell their kids and grandkids, hey, I remember when this guy's dad played here and he was awesome. It's got to seem like a really good fit for Larry Nance to be going to Cleveland to play in the NBA. It's got to be a good thing for him and I guess somebody the fans can get behind if LeBron should leave.
For sure. I think that's a really cool story. And I think Larry Nance Jr. was actually born in Akron, mm-hmm. same place LeBron was born. So there will be a lot of those sort of feel-good connections for Larry Nance. And the other thing about him is he's a really good player, but like I said earlier, he's not the kind of
right.
guy who puts up the flashy numbers. He's not going to go out there and average 20 and 10 and command a huge payday. So he's a guy that Cleveland could keep around for a while, too. He'll have his second NBA contract coming up here in the next year or two, and it's not going to be a little one, but it's going to be more affordable than, say, it might have cost to retain Isaiah Thomas, or it'll probably be cheaper than the contract Tristan Thompson's on right now, which looks like a just objectively terrible one at this point. But, yeah, it's a really, I think it's a good fit, not only for basketball reasons, but for the off-the-court stuff you mentioned, too.
Do you think he could have some bigger numbers there, being out of the shadow of some of the star power in Los Angeles?
That'll be interesting to see. He's not the kind of guy who really asserts himself, at least offensively, from what I've watched. He's almost unselfish to a fault. I think LeBron's going to get him a lot of wide-open dunks, which will be nice for him. To me, he's always going to be a guy that's like, I feel like he would max out at maybe 12 points, 7 rebounds, you know, a couple assists, a couple steals. Nothing, no individual stat really jumps off the page, but everything put together, in addition to the stuff he does that doesn't even show up on a box sheet, I mean, he's a really good on-ball defender for a power forward, a guy who can switch and guard two or three positions. He just does so many little sort of intangible things that's what makes him most valuable to me. And I think that's becoming more valuable in the league. You're seeing more guys like that get big paydays. So maybe he'll make a little bit more than I'm underselling him a little bit. But his numbers could see a slight uptick. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that just blows you away with numbers, though.
Well, the nice thing about it is he doesn't have a dad who's having his own press conferences and his own athletic shoe brand, you know? That makes it a lot easier, too, to handle it.
In that same podcast, the host asked him about that, and you could tell he wasn't trying. He didn't want to step on his teammates' toes or anything or cause any sort of drama, but at the same time, it kind of sounded like, yeah, this is a little bit of a distraction. I would assume any player getting out of that situation with LeVar Ball, that's got to be a little bit of a relief, because he's causing one headache after another wherever he goes.
Andy Bailey joining us, covers the NBA for Bleacher Report. Of course, a Cheyenne East graduate at LCCC, former LCCC basketball player as well. So, Andy, the Denver Nuggets made some news as well. And I tell you what, Denver's quietly having a fairly a nice season with some young players, not maybe well-known other than Nikola Jokic. You know, but Jamal Murray's playing good. You know, they've got Gary Harris is playing well. But they got rid of one of their top draft picks in Emmanuel Mudiay. Is that a good move for the Nuggets? Did they get what they wanted in return? And is it enough to, you know, keep them in the playoff hunt the rest of the year?
I actually like that deal a lot. Most of the reaction I've seen is pretty negative towards the Nuggets, and I get why. He was a number two pick, and just a few years after you take him, you trade him for a guy who's 35 years old, another guy who doesn't put up a ton of, you know, the raw points and stuff like that at this point in his career, and Devin Harris. But Emmanuel Mudiay, I think 3 years has been enough for us to kind of see what he provides, and it's essentially nothing on defense. And I don't think he does enough offensively to make up for that. I mean, his overall impact on a game, it's just not good. And one of the things that I think this Denver team is missing is sort of the veteran presence and leadership that Jameer Nelson gave him last year, and I think Devin Harris replaces that. He's been in the league for, I don't know, 15 years now. He's a professional. He's a former All-Star. I think he'll bring a lot of stability to that bench. And then when they get Paul Millsap back, and they sort of figure out their rotation, that's going to be a really good team. You mentioned Murray and Harris, and when those two are on the floor with Millsap and Jokic, they're outscoring teams by, you know, 10, 15 points per 48 minutes. So that's a really strong lineup, and I think Devin Harris helps their bench for sure. In the short term, it's a definite upgrade over Mudiay.
Andy, how much longer, how much more school you got left till you're a bigwig now?
I've got about 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Final semester, thank goodness.
So final semester, you have a new edition, you got the NBA to cover. What can't Andy Bailey do? I tell you what, man, you're doing a little bit of everything right now. Jeez Louise.
I appreciate that. Sometimes it feels a little bit frazzled, but keeping busy is a good thing.
Good support staff with your better half on the other side, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. She's one in a million, that's for sure.
Hey, again, congratulations, Andy. Thank you so much for joining us. Good job, man, and we'll talk soon. Are you going to, you know, keep writing about the NBA after you graduated? Or is being a lawyer going to take up all of your time?
I would like to continue at least with the podcast. at least in the short term. Because obviously, being a lawyer, especially with that taskmaster Hank Bailey, we'll see how much time I have.
Wait a minute. He must be a taskmaster for the rest of you. Because every time I call over to get some work done, he sends me over to Harmon, or he sends me to somebody else. Is he never in the office?
You're gonna be working for Andy. You're gonna be going to Andy now here after a while.
Good Lord, you know. Is Hank in? No, he's not around today. No, he is. I think he's at the house, you know.
I'll take good care of you, Dave.
All right, I appreciate it, Andy.
Hey, Andy, good stuff, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.